Hello and welcome to Are You Well? In this episode of Are You Well, I'd like to share with you the classical Ayurvedic perspective on how to start your day, which consists of a morning routine. And there is an Ayurvedic classical book called Ashtanga Hridaya, which is a medical textbook. We could call it one of the earliest medical textbooks from the 7th century AD, where Vagbhata, who is the author of this textbook, Ashtanga Hridaya, he describes how a person should start the day in one of the earliest chapters in the first section of the book. Perhaps this instruction about how to start the day was for those who were students of medicine or students of Ayurveda then. A lot of it is really very much applicable to most of us, whether we are students of Ayurveda or we are living our life as adults doing different things. And the main thing is what Ayurveda really looks at is it's one thing to start to look at our illnesses and to treat our illnesses, but the most important thing is to develop healthy habits on an everyday basis so that we can prevent the onset of any illness. And as such, the emphasis which is there on daily routine, which in Sanskrit is called dinacharya. Dina is day, charya is activities, what we follow throughout the day, how that can have an impact on our overall health over a long period of time. Obviously, when it comes to our morning routine, it starts with waking up. So what's a good time to wake up? Yes, if you're not somebody who is doing shift work, or if you're not somebody who's working at a different time zone than where you live, and in that case, then it would be really good to have a waking time, which is early in the morning. And in Ayurveda, an ideal time to wake up is called Brahma Muhurta. Brahma, you can call it the universe, and Muhurta is the time when it is the best time, the universal time, when you wake up, you're going to have good state of mind. When you start your day by waking up at that time, then you can plan the entire day to go in such a way that you can experience your optimal well-being. Obviously, Brahma Muhurta, from the various Ayurveda and other Sanskrit texts, is considered 96 minutes before sunrise, which is very, very early. I would say that perhaps for those who were students at that time, then getting up even before the sun rises and then to start to prepare for the day would have been ideal, so that by the time that the sun rises, that you could be starting with your main task for the day. However, I must say that, you know, if we can get into the practice of waking up around sunrise, let's say just when the sun rises, or maybe even half an hour before sun rises, this can give us that benefit of having this peaceful morning time when you can contemplate on what you want to do for that day. I know for myself that when I wake up, if I wake up having slept well, having had good rest through the night, then the moment I wake up, it's the best time for me to think about writing or reading or responding to something which I might have been contemplating in my mind for a while, as there is absolutely no distraction. It's like your mind is a clean slate where you can write what you really want to. So they're all great benefits by waking up early in the morning. Not to mention, if you are not somebody who really wants to write or read when you wake up in the morning, but you'd like to go out and appreciate a sunrise, appreciate the elements, go for a walk, go for a jog, then it does give that kind of sense of feeling refreshed the first thing when you get up in the morning and go out and look at nature or look at the sky. If you are not amidst nature, it uplifts our mood.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
In fact, what Vagbhata in Astanga Hridaya says that, what should you do when you wake up in the morning? The first thing to do is to kind of think, have you digested the food that you have eaten the previous day? How do you know? Obviously, if there's an urge for proper bowel movement, that gives us an idea that, yeah, the food has been digested well, so it's time for elimination to start the day by making sure that the body has eliminated what it has digested, and the undigested material is eliminated. And that would be the first thing, according to Vagbhata, is to really consider whether you have digested the previous day's food or not. And from Vagbhata's perspective, if you haven't digested the food from the previous day, then to skip that meal, skip that breakfast until you really feel hungry and you have had a bowel movement. And Vagbhata also says that, you know, start the day by looking at things which create a positive sensation or gives you that positive vibes within you. To look at things which are pleasant, to start your day with a sense of positivity instead of feeling totally overwhelmed. So sometimes, you know, we wake up in the morning and if our alarm is set just, let's say, half an hour before our first meeting, or our alarm is set just to have enough time to get ready and leave the home, we can imagine how that can actually make our day very stressful. But on the other hand, if we rise early, there's sufficient time to enjoy the morning, and then also to get ready and to start with our day. Obviously, to rise early, we would have to go to bed early, as most of us as adults would need about 7 to 8 hours of good sleep. So it's about really training ourselves to get into a good balanced rhythm. So you wake up in the morning and you have had a reflection on whether you digested your food properly or not. Then you start your day by contemplating on or looking at what is positive, what gives you that kind of sense of well-being. And then what do you do next? According to Ayurveda, the next thing is to drink a glass of warm water. So some, they do drink more than a glass or more than a cup of warm water, but I would say it is good to just have a cup of warm water. And of course, you know, many may have the practice of adding a little bit of ginger to it, maybe a little bit of honey, or even apple cider vinegar to start the day with a cup of hot water or warm water. And the reason why Ayurveda suggests warm water is because it really makes your digestive system a little bit more sharp, or, you know, it kind of wakes up the digestive system. It's also in the morning, sipping a little bit of warm water gives that kind of sensation of comfort, warmth. And it helps in the stomach feeling warm, and your digestive system then kind of is receiving this warm drink can also stimulate peristalsis, so it can set off bowel movements. You know, like how many of us, we will start our day with a cup of coffee, and you know, like having a cup of coffee and going for a walk or a jog, how it stimulates bowel movements. So warmth has something to do with really stimulating our nervous system, our peristalsis. So Ayurveda says that, you know, yeah, get up in the morning. The first thing you want to do is to drink warm water. And also what Ayurveda suggests is that warm water is something which can help with reducing this excess mucus formation, mucus secretion that you might feel in your chest and throat, particularly if it is during winter times where it is cold and you have slept through the night and you get up in the morning, the whole body feels a bit sluggish, then having warm water can be quite helpful. And of course, when it comes to elimination, Ayurveda is very, very open about talking about the importance of training our body to eliminate on a daily basis, particularly in the morning, as this can help in making the rest of the day easy. Then comes brushing your teeth. So here, just as a matter of interest, I would like to kind of mention what is said in the classics is, like, if you can get a neem or some other box from nature, and then the twigs of neem are chewed so that the bitter juice of neem gets into the teeth and the gums because of its astringent antimicrobial or antibacterial properties, can be very good for the teeth and gums. Obviously, you know, I can't remember when the last time I actually even have seen a neem twig. However, I remember when I was studying my undergrad and we had to do medical camps where we went from one village to another. This is in India. And we would stay in those villages, and in the morning as we woke up to get ready for our medical camps, we could see these villagers actually picking up these neem twigs and then chewing them and then brushing their teeth. And I must say, because I grew up in a city, for me, to see how people in these remote villages in India, where I had the opportunity to participate in medical camps, trying to help the villagers with their health, I learned a lot from them. Their teeth was far healthier and stronger than what I'd seen in my own environment growing up in a city. I myself, from childhood, had to see dentists so many times because of eating excess sweets, not flossing, and not really having a very good dental care practices other than brushing. When I saw these villages, I was really gobsmacked as to how strong and healthy their teeth and their gums were. And they often use these twigs. Of course, now you can find neem-based and also even charcoal-based toothpaste. And in these villages, some of them were brushing their teeth with charcoal. And, you know, as charcoal is so dark, and they would say it whitens the teeth. And of course, by then, I wasn't quite sure how charcoal would help. But now, as you can imagine, if you go to the supermarkets, you have this charcoal toothpaste. So it really is interesting how, if we go back to ancient wisdom traditions or practices, that some of them are coming back because we are now starting to understand the value of these practices. I'm not saying that you should get hold of a neem twig or charcoal, but, you know, if you can use a plant-based, you know, broad antimicrobial contents in your toothpaste, if you can find something like that and use it, that would be really very good. And also, Ayurveda strongly suggests that along with brushing your teeth, it's important to also not brush, but to clean your tongue. And you know, what is suggested is using a tongue scraper, which is made of certain particular type of metals. So a copper tongue scraper, which is actually quite good and it's cheap as well. Or you could even use a silver tongue scraper. And by just using this tongue scraper, putting it at the back of your tongue, not so much to the back that it starts to create this gagging reflex, but just enough so that it's not causing you any discomfort, and then to gently scrape off the coating on the tongue. What Ayurveda says is that if you remove the coating on your tongue when you brush your teeth, then that you are not pushing that gunk or that dirt back into the gut when you later start to eat or drink through the day. And to be honest, when you start to pay attention to your tongue, you will start to notice the slight differences in the color of your tongue, the coating. If there's any inflammation, you'll catch it early. And also, you know, the teeth marks. I must say that teeth marks can be common either because you're wearing braces and that may have caused this teeth mark. But if you're not wearing braces, or if you have given up wearing braces long time ago, and then later as an adult, you start to see these teeth marks, that from an Ayurvedic perspective, it is considered malabsorption. But from a more functional medicine perspective, it is seen as a possible indication of insulin resistance, like you stand in front of the mirror, you poke your tongue out and you see these kind of edges which are scalloping, then that possibly is an indication of insulin resistance. And when you get into reversing your insulin resistance through intermittent fasting, through eating more complex carbohydrates and giving up refined carbohydrates and simple carbohydrates, over a period of time, you will start to notice that the edges of your tongue becomes more even, indicating a possible reversal of insulin resistance. So paying attention to what your tongue looks like is going to give you some information about how your system is functioning. And from an Ayurvedic perspective, when you clean your teeth properly, when you clean your tongue, it says that it really helps in removing any of the imbalances of kapha. So kapha is the element of earth and water. And you know, kapha gives us strength. It gives us immunity. It helps us with our immunity. However, when kapha is imbalanced, it's in excess, then it can lead to formation of what Ayurveda looks at as endotoxins, or what in Ayurveda is called ama. And removing the ama or preventing ama or these toxins is one of the most important strategy in any of the Ayurvedic daily routine or even Ayurvedic treatments. So as we also know, like if you have a better oral hygiene, then that it results in improving the microbial flora within the mouth, which can be very different to the microbial flora in the gut. And many times, like certain disturbances in the microbial flora of the oral cavity can result in bad odor. So in order to remove that tendency or even prevent development of bad odor, tongue scraping can be very helpful. And also Ayurveda thinks that by tongue scraping and cleaning your teeth properly, it can help in giving you a better appetite or improved appetite. I mean, clearly, as we get older, our taste buds, they tend to become bald, much like, you know, how baldness can occur on the scalp. And that also results in older people not appreciating the taste very well of food. So they go for very stimulating taste like salt and sugar. And then our tongue becomes so used to only appreciating salty and sugary foods, it's an indication that there is something wrong in our perception of taste. And these simple practices can help in changing that and improving our appetite. Once our appetite is normalized, then that our tendency for craving also becomes reduced. And Ayurveda also says that, you know, when you practice your morning cleansing routines, it can result in cheerfulness of the mind, which is true, because when you are doing this with great mindfulness and with good kind of intention to set the positive tone for your day, it also helps with our mental health. And Ayurveda says that it's so essential that even if you don't have sore throat or any signs or symptoms of sinusitis, then it is good to do gargling. And Ayurveda has two different terms for gargling called Kavala and Gandusha. So these are basically, you know, like keeping certain herbal liquids or herbal oils or herbal decoctions in the mouth for a certain time, is called gandusha, and kavala is when you start to squish these herbal decoctions or herbal oils in the mouth and then you spit it out. Well, I would say it's good to follow both. Is like, just have a teaspoon of sesame oil, or you can use a teaspoon of coconut oil. And then to this, you can add a little bit of warm water, and then you can place it in your mouth and leave it for about 30 to 60 seconds, and then start to squish it, like irrigating your oral cavity. And then when it becomes very frothy, then that you spit it out. This really helps in activating your buccal cavity, the muscles, the tongue. The sensation that you get when you do this is going to give you that sense of freshness and clarity. And it's a very good antibacterial practice to reduce any tendencies of pushing more bacteria into the gut, or to improve your health of your oral cavity. And also, it's so good for your facial muscles. It improves the quality of your voice. It strengthens your muscles, you know, like how we constantly may think as we get older about collagen losing elasticity or developing wrinkles. And what Ayurveda says is, well, in fact, if you do your tongue cleaning and teeth brushing and doing this, squishing, or we could call oil pulling, then you are also helping your facial muscle and also your face overall to have good circulation and to anti-age as well. So there are a lot of benefits by doing these very simple practices, which are inexpensive and which can help in general well-being and also in preventing unnecessary or accelerated aging. What else does Ayurveda look at when it comes to morning routine? It looks at application of sesame oil, or even clarified butter, or even herbal oil, which usually is called Anutaila, A-N-U-T-A-I-L-A, which are used as nasal drops. And while administration of some of these oils through the nostrils, called Nasya, N-A-S-Y-A, is an important aspect of Ayurvedic detoxification therapy, Ayurveda also recommends use of these oils. You can use plain sesame oil, you can use plain ghee, or if you can get hold of a good Ayurvedic nasal drop like Anutaila, or there can be some other ghee-based nasal drops also called Nasa Bindu Grita. And these can be used for application on a daily basis. And I use it and I recommend it to many of my patients, because when you use your clean little finger and then you dip that into this oil or this ghee or this Anutaila, and then you just smear the inside of your nostrils, which is called Pratimarshanasya, a practice which is used for thousands of years in Ayurveda as a daily routine. It helps in giving you that protective layer inside the nose, and this protective layer can help in trapping the dust. And you know, like those who have long-term hay fever, who are prone to hay fever and allergies, often their hair-like structure I'm not just talking about the hair in the nose, but also the hair-like structure, which or throughout the mucous membrane there, they become blunt and ineffective. And that's where the allergens, pollens, and dust, fine dust, can escape into the respiratory tract and then can set off this allergic response. But to prevent that, to also to improve the hair-like structure within the mucus of the nostrils, doing this everyday application of oil into the nose can be a very good practice. So how many times should you do that? You know, you can do it twice or thrice daily if you have the time and if you can remember, but at least do it in the morning. So by doing this oil application into the nostrils, you are protecting your upper respiratory tract and improving the health and immunity of your upper respiratory tract. And as many of you might know, that if someone has long-standing or chronic upper respiratory tract infections, then often it also, over a period of time, spreads to the lower respiratory tract and then can result in bronchitis or asthma. So for those who are sensitive to dust, to pollen, have had history of hay fever, this kind of application of oil to the nostrils can be a very good practice. Further, in the Ayurvedic classics, they also say that this is particularly good also if someone has tendencies for spondylosis, you know, like inflammation of the joints in the neck. And Ayurveda says that this can be a good practice if someone has had facial paralysis, or if you suffer from repeated headaches, then this can be good. And application of oil to your nostrils can also be good if one suffers from or has tendency towards sinusitis, or even allergic rhinitis, which is colds, you know, having bouts of sneezing when you wake up in the morning due to allergy. And it can also reduce tendency for repeated throat infections. And Ayurveda says that your face can become brighter and the voice can become vibrant, and you know, the quality of voice can improve. And Ayurveda says that this practice also helps in making your sense organs become sharper and acute and healthy. So there are many benefits that Ayurveda describes when it comes to these morning routines of doing nasya, or application of oil to the nostrils. What's interesting is, you know, Ayurveda also says that after you have done your brushing your teeth and cleaning your tongue, then placing this herbal decoction or, you know, oil and water in your mouth and then squishing it, or oil pulling, application of oil to the nostrils. Ayurvedic classics, they say that because you will have done so many processes using oil or oily material, then that it's important to dehydrate or remove any excess moisture or oleation, and therefore suggest what is called dhumrapana, which is basically a herbal smoke, or smoking a herb. And which one? You know, the most commonly used herbal smoke is one of turmeric. And interestingly, in Ayurvedic smoking, of course not tobacco, we are not talking about anything which is dangerous, is really more like fumigating. And what is generally used is dry turmeric. In fact, you can get hold of these dry turmeric roots, not turmeric powder or not fresh turmeric. Many of us may be familiar with fresh turmeric, and of course, most of us are familiar with turmeric powder, but to use turmeric root. And turmeric root, you can find them, this turmeric root, dry turmeric roots. Try and source an organic one, because sometimes turmeric can be adulterated. They might use certain, you know, chemicals or colors to get that kind of intense yellow or orange or yellowish orange color that turmeric has. So make sure that you get a good organic source. And what you just need to do is just, you know, like to light the end of this turmeric root and to very safely hold it at a distance from the nose hand, unlike the traditional way of smoking, which is inhaling from the mouth and exhaling from the nose. Ayurvedic suggestion or instruction is to inhale from the nose and exhale from the throat. So this can need a little bit of practice. Maybe I would say, if you need help, go and seek the help of an Ayurvedic therapist or an Ayurvedic practitioner who is familiar with this particular procedure of Dhumrapana to teach you how to do it. And you basically take one or two kind of sniffs of this turmeric fumes or smoke, to say, and then you just inhale it through your nose and you exhale it from your throat. And this is going to help in sanitizing. It's going to help in drying out any excess mucus. And from an Ayurvedic classical perspective, like what I have been sharing with you as what's been documented in Astanga Hridaya, written by Vagbhata, which is a 7th century AD book, Vagbhata says that this practice can strengthen the sense organs, like the strength organs, particularly vision. And also it can reduce tendency for infections in the ear, like middle ear infections. And also Vagbhata says that it can make the mind more balanced and peaceful, and can give you focus and attention. And Vagbhata further says that somebody who practices this Dhumrapana on a regular basis, you can prevent premature graying or premature or unnecessary hair fall that can occur from time to time. And Vagbhata says that the voice can also become soft and pleasant, and it can help in strengthening the gums and teeth. It can reduce any bad odor. It can improve one's appetite. It can help in reducing inflammation in the joints of the head and neck and shoulders, and also can help in reducing allergic colds, that's rhinitis. And Vagbhata says that, you know, if one has a tendency for excessive sleeping or feels very sluggish in the morning, this practice can also help. So there are many of these morning practices that Vagbhata suggests. And then the next practice that Vagbhata suggests that one should be doing in the morning is application of oil, which is called Abhyanga.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Abhyanga comes from the Sanskrit root abhimukham krutva angamardhanam, in the sense squeezing or applying oil to the body in the direction of the hair follicle, in the sense, you know, of following the muscles. When you apply oil and squeeze the muscles and rub this oil into your body, then that would be a good way or the right way to do oil application. And when you are doing oil application, so Ayurveda says that you would need to actually heat up the oil. And the best way to heat up the oil is actually not by putting it on a stove, but to heat it indirectly. So I would say just take a medium size or a small bowl and then heat up the water and then pour that water into this bowl. And when then take oil in a little a cup and then place that cup in the hot water like bain marie, and then you let the oil indirectly become warm because it's placed in a bowl with hot water. If this becomes too difficult, then I would say store your Ayurvedic oil. Like, it can be just sesame oil, or it can be a specific vata oil, or it can be kshirabala taila, which is a herbal Ayurvedic oil, or mahanarayana taila. You have to speak to your Ayurvedic practitioner to know what kind of oils are suitable to you. You know, if you can't get hold of any of that, then plain sesame oil is absolutely fine. In fact, plain sesame oil is safe and it's excellent. But if you have a tendency for hives and rashes, you have sensitive skin, then that don't use sesame oil, which is, I mean, you can, but then you have to be careful, but don't risk using sesame oil, which is warming. So you may want to use something like coconut oil. And coconut oil or sesame oil, if not, you know, why don't you use just plain sweet almond oil, or maybe olive oil? Any of these, you know, oils are quite useful. So what you're going to do is you're going to start with your scalp, and then you're going to apply this oil to your scalp. Of course, you know, if you're not washing your hair, don't do the scalp. Maybe just one or two drops just on top of your hair, head, you know, like where the crown is, and then you just massage it into your scalp a little bit, not too much of oil, and then you massage on your face and on your shoulder, neck, upper body, and then your chest, your tummy, as much as you can reach to the back, and then your shoulders, upper arms, elbows, forearm, the wrist, and your hands, palms, fingers, your hips and your thighs, your lower leg, your feet, and particularly pay attention to applying oil to the soles of your feet. But be very careful. Oil can be very slippery. So you really need to be in your bathroom where you have mats that are not slippery and you take sufficient care. And, you know, it doesn't take more than 5 to 10 minutes to really vigorously apply few drops of oil to all of your body. And then if you can, you can leave it to soak for about 5 minutes or even 10 minutes. And if not, you know, get into the shower, have a warm shower or a warm bath, which will help in really giving you that kind of effect of sweating or like being in a steam. And it helps rejuvenate your skin. It gives you deep relaxation. And Ayurveda, in fact, says that there can be multiple benefits by getting into the practice of oil application in the morning, particularly on a regular basis. Regular basis can be 7 days a week. It can be 3 days a week. But, you know, whatever you can consistently follow, or which can be frequent and regular, you know, the more you do it, the better. And even if you stick to 2 or 3 days a week, that I would say is still excellent. And Ayurveda says that, you know, one of the best benefits of application of oil on a daily basis would be to pacify Vata. Vata, as I've spoken in other episodes, you know, is the principle of air and space. And air and space, generally we can compare them or see similar functions in our nervous system, you know, our joints, our nervous system, and our mind. They have very high intense activity of Vata. And, you know, as we know, stress can result in excess Vata and also joint pains. And if you haven't slept well, that can increase Vata. To relieve those effects of Vata, Abhyanga can be useful. And if you can't do this Abhyanga oil application to all of your body, Ayurveda says that you at least must aim to apply oil on a regular basis before shower or bath to your head, ears, and legs. Particularly head, the scalp, ears, the earlobes, and your feet, because these are where there's a lot of nervous innervation or nerve innervation, sorry. So there are lots of nerves and nerve endings, and they can really stimulate the nerve endings. So to apply oil to your scalp, to your earlobes, and your soles of your feet from an Ayurvedic perspective is considered excellent practice or almost mandatory before you have shower or bath. From an Ayurvedic perspective, in the classic Ashtanga Hridaya by Vagbhata, the 7th century AD textbook, he says that, you know, by doing Abhyanga oil application, it can make your muscles and bones stronger. Oh, it helps in improving your musculoskeletal health. It can also induce sound sleep. Sound sleep not straight after, but if you practice it over a period of time, it gives you good sleep during night times. I mean, in fact, many, they also practice applying oil and having shower and bath before going to sleep, which is not a bad idea, which is a very good idea. Because it does help in improving sleep, but try and also practice it during morning times to improve your circadian health. And Abhyanga gives a sense of calmness to your mind. Particularly, I remember when I used to travel a lot, because you had to get up early in the morning, catch flights at odd hours, you couldn't sleep very well on the flights, and then you get to your place and you may have to start with either your work, you know, teaching or conference. Just this application of oil and getting into shower after application of oil can do the trick of removing that kind of tiredness of journey, tiredness of not having slept well. So it does help in your mind becoming clear and also more focused. And Ayurveda says that, you know, somebody who uses oil application on a daily basis, it can increase their enthusiasm and work efficiency. And, you know, in a way, it does help in giving you that kind of increased dopaminic effect. So you feel positive about everything that you do. And when you are positive, of course, your work efficiency obviously improves, because if you are struggling with your energy, either physical or mental, and you have to work, obviously the productivity is not going to be great. So, but Abhyanga as a practice in the morning can improve your work efficiency. And Ayurveda says it removes tiredness from the body and also from the sensory faculties. Like if you have been working too much, let's say, at your computer, looking at your computer screen all the time, or typing, or thinking, or if you're constantly speaking in meetings, or if you're a lecturer or teacher or a presenter, then you can see how the sense organs, various sense organs, become overly strained. Even if you love your job, it does start to become worn out and demanding. And by using this Abhyanga on a daily basis, you can reduce that stress on your sensory faculties. Of course, not to mention the benefit that you can get with oil application before shower on your skin. It improves elasticity. It makes your skin shine, reduces any tendency for fungal infections or other bacterial infections. So you can have a healthy and sometimes even glowing skin. It tones up your body, particularly if you're exercising, you do Abhyanga, then it really helps in toning your muscles and faster recovery from your exercise strain. And it can also, over a period of time, reduce the tendency for developing wrinkles as we get older, like this unnecessary or accelerated aging can be prevented through Abhyanga. In fact, Ayurvedic classic says it's one of the very effective ways for anti-aging. And it increases tolerance to physical activity. I mean, what that means from Ayurvedic classics is it increases your threshold for physical demands. Like it increases your endurance. And, you know, we must remember that many of these Ayurvedic practices are still used in some of the regions within India, particularly South India, Kerala, where Kalaripayattu, which is a martial art, and South Indian martial arts, where it's very demanding, they definitely practice Abhyanga on a regular basis, and they do become quite resilient physically and also with great mental focus for their practices. So it's not just something that you can take lightly. Once you start doing these morning routines, you will start to notice great improvement. And doing all of this, then Ayurveda says that do not forget to do your exercise. And when it comes to exercising, Ayurveda says after your morning routine, when you exercise, make sure that you do it to half of your capacity. Half of your capacity in the sense every time you don't exceed half your capacity, your half capacity keeps increasing. So instead of completely burning out, giving everything, if you work up to your half capacity, you can maintain your exercise for longer and on a regular basis. So here we go. Ayurvedic classics, they give a very, very good, systematic, regulated set of morning routine to stay healthy and well. Well, we may not be able to do all of these, but even if we incorporate 30% of this into our everyday lifestyle, we can expect to experience greater well-being. So do stay tuned to Ayurveda, and I'll talk to you on another topic of Ayurveda next week for UK Health Radio. Thank you.